Jayalada Madhava Kunjabi Hari. Gopi Janna Balava Girivara Dhari. Gopi Janna Balava Girivara Dhari. Yashoda Nandana Braja Janaranjana Yashoda Nandana Braja Janaranjana Yamuna Tira Vanachari Yamuna Tira Vanachari Jai Radha Madhava Kunjabi Hari Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Jai Nityananda Prabhu Vishnu Vishnupada Paramahamsa Prabhupada Stotara Satashi Srimad His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Savior of the whole world Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Jai Nityananda Prabhu Vishnu Vishnupada Paramahamsa Prabhupada Stotara Satashi Srimad His Divine Grace, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur Maharaj Param Guru, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Ananta Koti Vaishnava Vrinda Ki Jai. Grantaraj Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai. Sankirtan Jagya Ki Jai. Samaveta Bhakta Vrinda Ki. Nitai Go Premanandi. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to Sri Sri Guru and Guranga Srila Prabhupada. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 3, Chapter 13, Text 2 and 3. The appearance of Lord Varaha. So text 2, I'll just read myself, it has no purport. Text 3 has a short purport, we'll do it together. So text 2. Vidura uvacha savaisvayambhuva samrat priya putra svayambhuvaha pratilabhya priyam patnim kim chakara tato mune Translation, Vidura said, O great sage, what did Svayambhuva, the dear son of Brahma, do after obtaining his very loving wife? Text 3. Charitam tasya rajarsher adi rajasya satama bruhi me shradadanaya Vishvakshinashrayo hi asa charitam tasya rajarsher adi rajasya satama bruhi me shradadanaya Vishvakshina Shrayo Hyasau Charitam Tasya Rajarsher Adi Rajasya Satamam Bruhi Me Shradadanaya Vishvakshina Shrayo Hyasau Charitam tasya rajarsher Adi rajasya satamam Bruhi me shradadanaya Vishvakshina shrayo hyasam Bruhi me shradadanaya Again, I said this a few times in the past. The etiquette is that the one who's giving the class gets the option of choosing the melody, and then those that repeat, they use the same melody. It's good to be creative, but has its limits. Anyone else? Charitam tasya rajarsher adi rajasya satamam vime shradadanaya vikshvakshina shayo hirsham Charitam tasya rajasya adi rajasya satama vishvakshina shayo yasam Ladies. Charitam tasya rajasya Adi Rajasya Satyaman Ruhime Shraddhanaya Vishvakshina Shrayo Yasam Charitam Tasya Rajasya Adi Rajasya Satyaman Word meanings charitam, character. Tasya, his. Rajarsi, of the saintly king. Adi Rajasya, of the original king. Satama, O pious one, Bruhi, kindly speak. May unto me, Shraddhanaya, unto one eager to receive. Visvakshinam, of the personality of Godhead. Ashraya, one who has taken shelter. He, certainly. Asang, that king. Translation purport by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada. O best of the virtuous, the original king of kings, Manu, was a great devotee of the personality of Godhead, Hari, and thus it is worth hearing of his sublime character and activities. Please describe them. I am very eager to hear. Please repeat. O best of the virtuous, the original king of kings, Manu, was a great devotee of the personality of Godhead, Hari, and thus it is worth hearing of his sublime character and activities. Please describe them. I am very eager to hear. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. Srimad Bhagavatam is full of the transcendental topics of the personality of Godhead and his pure devotees. In the absolute world, there is no difference in quality between the Supreme Lord and his pure devotees. Therefore, hearing the topics of the Lord and hearing of the character and activities of the pure devotee have the same result, namely the development of devotional service. Charitam tasya rajasera adi rajasya satama bruhime sadadanaya vikspakshina shayo hiyaso. O best of the virtuous, the original king of kings, Manu was a great devotee of the personality of Godhead, Hari, and thus it is worth hearing of his sublime character and activities. Please describe them. I am very eager to hear. Om Jnanati Mirandasya Chananjana Shalakaya Chakshun Militam Yena Tasman Shri Gurupena Maham. I was born in the darkness of ignorance, but my spiritual master has opened my eyes with the torchlight of knowledge. Therefore, I offer my most humble obeisances unto him, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. I wasn't here, but now as I read, I'm also struck with wonder by the last chapter's description of the birth of this primordial couple. We can take a moment to go back to that in the last chapter, 52 to 55 verses. Let's check it out. It's pretty amazing. While he was thus absorbed in contemplation and was observing the supernatural power, two other forms were generated from his body. They are still celebrated as the body of Brahma. Prabhupada says in the purport that one seemed to be male and one seemed to be female, and no one can explain the source of their manifestation. And so they're known as Kayam, as the body of Brahma, with no indication of the relationship as a son or daughter. Text 53, the two newly separated bodies united together in a sexual relationship. One of them, the one who had the male form, became known as Manu, named Svayambhuva, and the woman became known as Shatarupa, the queen of the great soul, Manu. The next verse says, therefore, by sex indulgence, they gradually increased the generations of population, one after another. This is a pretty amazing background describing how Lord Brahma wanted to increase the population. It wasn't increasing enough. And then when Prabhupada would always say sex life entered the picture, then things really got moving. Like anything. So in the purport, we hear that there's no difference in quality between the Supreme Lord and his pure devotee. But we also hear that same formula applied to the living entity, or more exactly to the spirit, soul, and the Lord. So not only pure devotee, but also in general, the living entities are not different in quality. Nityo, nityanam, chaitanas, chaitananam, that we're eternal, the Lord is eternal. We're conscious, the Lord is conscious, so quality, we're equal, we could say. But yet there is a difference that we are chaitana, and the Lord is chaitana, and we are chaitanana. The Lord is individual, and we're plural. It's a big difference. And also, we're individually conscious, chaitana, chaitananam, nityo, nityanam, chaitanas, chaitananam. So we're singular, the Lord is singular and we're plural. So this non-difference in quality between the Lord and his pure devotee, it's a question of degree and also of realization. For example, in the case of the Uttama Adhikari, there's various descriptions of the topmost devotee has this vision. First of all, he's to be worshipped. This is my collection of cards. This is my oldest card in my whole collection. It's really quite brown and curved corners. Aradhananam sarvesham Vishnu radhanam param tasmat parataram devi tadiyanam samarchanam. Of all types of worship, worship of Lord Vishnu is best. And better than the worship of Lord Vishnu is the worship of his devotee, the Vaishnava. Hmm. And I have different descriptions of the topmost devotee. In the 11th canto, we have the most advanced devotee sees within everything the soul of all souls, the Supreme Personality of Godhead Krishna. Consequently, he sees everything in relation to the Supreme Lord and understands that everything that exists is eternally situated within the Lord. Another confirmation of the exalted position of the pure devotee. This is Yudhisthira to Vidura. My Lord, devotees like your good self are verily holy places personified. Because you carry the personality of Godhead within your heart, you turn all places into places of pilgrimage. This is Lord Kapila Dev to Devahuti, 3.25.36. Upon seeing the charming forms of the Lord, smiling and attractive, and hearing his very pleasing words, the pure devotee almost loses all other consciousness. His senses are freed from all other engagements, and he becomes absorbed in devotional service. Thus, in spite of his unwillingness, he attains liberation without separate endeavor. And then, of course, the Adi Purana verse, where Krishna tells Arjuna that My dear Partha, one who claims to be my devotee is not so. Only a person who claims to be the devotee of my devotee is really my devotee. We hear Lord Chaitanya Dasa Anudasa, 100 times removed. And it's so valuable, the association of a pure devotee. 1.18.13, 4.30.34, they both say the same thing. The value of a moment's association with a devotee of the Lord cannot be compared to the attainment of heavenly planets or liberation from matter. What to speak of worldly benedictions in the form of material prosperity, which are those who are meant for death? And the last one is very more rasika, we can say. Shutima pare smitimitare bharatamanye bachantu bhava bitaha aham ihi anandam vande yasya linde param brahma. Translation, this is one brahmana, devotee, I think it's Raghupati Upadhyaya. Translation, let others fearing material existence worship the Vedas, the Vedic supplementary Puranas, and the Mahabharata, but I shall worship Nanda Maharaj, in whose courtyard the Supreme Brahman is crawling. Confirmation that Supreme Brahman is, ultimately a person. So the point of all those references was just to emphasize the glory of the pure devotee of the Lord. Krishna himself also certifies the exalted position of his pure devotee. In Bhagavad Gita, chapter 6, 29 and 30, a true yogi observes me in all beings and also sees every being in me. Indeed, the self-realized person sees me, the Supreme Lord, everywhere. One who sees me everywhere and sees everything in me, I am never lost, nor is he ever lost to me. So these references were to confirm that there's no difference in quality between the Supreme Lord and his pure devotee. Next topic, we're going to speak about Manu, his sublime character and activities. In the glossary in the Veda base, Manu is described as a demigod son of Brahma, who is the original father and lawgiver of the human race. Manu is also a generic name for any of the 14 universal rulers, also known as the Manvantara avatars, who appear in each day of Lord Brahma. And then there's a list of the 14 names of them, starting with Svayambhuva. So about Manu, a few points on Manu. He was not only a loving father to Devahuti, but was also objective. In other words, he wasn't a sentimentalist. Now, what is my basis of saying that? Well, he had no problem with her readiness to sacrifice royal comforts in order to serve her chosen husband, the ascetic, you know, Kardama Muni. In other words, Manu was not at all detoured by external considerations based on the bodily conception of life. This is an indication that his greatness was far beyond merely material accomplishments, but he had a spiritual perspective. So much so that he wasn't sentimental, he wasn't afraid to give his daughter to Devahuti, to ascetic, and to live an ascetic life. In Srimad Bhagavatam 4.1.2, Manu is described as the lawgiver to mankind. And he set the example, specifically, of this practice called Putrika Dharma. And since he personally executed the Putrika Dharma, we may accept that such a system may be adopted by mankind also. This is a detailed practice just to reconfirm the role of Svayambhuva Manu as a lawgiver, even in terms of a detail like this. And what is that? That the particular son to be adopted by Manu, that the, that one, if one does not have any sons, he can take a grandson and accept the grandson as his son. It's a Svayambhuva Manu authorizes that practice. And the particular son to be adopted by Manu would turn out to be the Supreme Personality of Godhead as Jagya, the incarnation of the Lord as Jagya, as sacrifice himself. I won't say itself because it's a person. More about Manu. From the purport to 4.10.14, quote, in this verse, the word manava is very significant. Generally, this word is used to mean human being. Dhruva Maharaj is also described here as manava. Not only is Dhruva Maharaj a descendant of Manu, but all human society descends from Manu. That word human is related. According to Vedic civilization, Manu is the lawgiver. Even today, Hindus in India follow the laws given by Manu. Everyone, therefore, in human society is a manava, or descendant from Manu. But Dhruva Maharaj is a distinguished manava because he is a great devotee. So I just added here that manava means human being as well, also as descendant of Manu. So the two definitions are interrelated. In the purport to 4.11.16, we find this kind of wholesale attack is not approved by Manu. This is the context is when Dhruva Maharaj wanted to annihilate all the yakshas, all the demoniac people that were attacking him. One of them killed his brother, Uttama, so he wanted to engage in collective vengeance, punishment. So that kind of wholesale attack is not approved by Manu, the father and lawgiver of the human race. He therefore wanted to stop his grandson, Dhruva, from, this is from Prabhupada's purport, fourth canto, he wanted to stop his grandson Dhruva from continuing to kill the Yaksha citizens who were not offenders. That was, he was trying to get vengeance. Was one of the Yakshas killed his brother Uttama. So instead of finding out who did that, he wanted to engage in collective punishment. So here we find an example of Srimad Bhagavatam's continuing relevance even up to date. How is that? The collective punishment of the residents of Gaza and the nearly total destruction of that enclave on the pretext of fighting Hamas recalls Dhruva's overly enthusiastic vengeance. There's nothing new under the sun. You see the parallel between what Dhruva was, he was corrected. He wasn't able to continue that mistaken agenda of collective punishment. One yaksha killed Uttama, so Dhruva wanted to kill all the yakshas. A few amongst the population in Gaza maybe hiding there, and human shields and all that, Hamas. So Mr. Netanyahu is committing genocide, killing all of them. So you can see how Bhagavatam is very directly instructing us even up to the present day. So this recalls Dhruva's overly enthusiastic vengeance. But unfortunately, Netanyahu has no one like Manu to restrain him. If he had someone like that, he probably would ignore him anyway. Nor does he seem capable of accepting good counsel, as did Dhruva Maharaj with respect to Manu. In other words, Dhruva Maharaj was going crazy. He's just killing everybody, you know, almost genocide, all the yakshas. But he, being a devotee, he was submissive to authority, in this case, Manu. From a 1995 Back to Godhead article by Hare Krishna Mataji, quote, after hearing the pleasing and auspicious words of Bhumi Devi, Maharaj Prithu set aside his bow and agreed to her suggestion. This is still a list of points about Svayambhuva Manu. He transferred Svayambhuva Manu, the lawgiver of mankind, into a calf and milked all the herbs and grains from her udder. That's, you know, not ordinary. Cupping his hands to catch them to offer in sacrifice. So my own observation here is I assume that Manu later regained his natural, or should that be supernatural, form. So one thing that really struck me is how this amazing phenomenon called sex, how that's when everything really started moving in this world. The population was done, but once sex relation was introduced, then the population really got going. So there's a few points in that area. The great binding power of sex in this world. In the description of the universal form, it's described that from the universal form there came a pleasure, talking about sex pleasure, which is so intense that it impels people to undergo, especially in the case of women, the pains of giving birth, and of course, over a longer period of time, the pains that the husband, whoever the male happens to be, has to accept the burden of maintaining not only the wife but the child. So why are people willing to do that? And not only once, they do it twice, three times, four times. And it has something to do, I mean, it's aside from sex itself, there's something to do with the desire to procreate that's there. Who is it, Schopenhauer? He was seeing that men are attracted to women's bodies, not as we may think, but because more subtly they see the woman's body as perfectly constructed for carrying embryos and giving birth. So he was thinking the desire for reproduction is the underlying force behind sex. I don't know if Srila Prabhupada would agree with that. In Srimad Bhagavatam 3.31.35, Natatasya Bhavin Moho Bandaschanya Prasangataha. What is it? Striya Yata Striya. I'm forgetting. Anyway, it's the verse that describes that that there's no attachment from the point of view of the male. There's no attachment stronger than attachment to women or to friends with men who are very attached to women. Yoshit sangi tat sangi sangitaha. There's nothing more binding, nothing more entangling than that attachment. And yet that's what seems to make the world go around. Again, Svayambhuva Manu, when at first sexual union took place between Manu and Shatarupa, that's when population really started going. And it's not a surprise. It's, again, that pleasure from the universal form is so intense that people don't even think of the consequences. So certainly, in terms of populating, we have copulation, population. In other words, by sex, then population is there. So it really gets the job done of really populating the universe sufficiently. That'll really do it. So we can say, in terms of creation, this terribly binding force which ties people and constrains them and restrains them and forces them to remain in the material world, just in Bhagavad Gita, kama esha, krodha esha, rajaguna, that it's the all-devouring sinful entity of the world, this lust. But the same lust was effective in terms of the service that Lord Brahma had to populate the universe. So necessarily evil, we can say. Of course, yes, dharma virudo bhuteshu kamosmi varatarshama, sex engaged according to religious principles, that I am, that is me, Krishna says. Kamosmi varatarshama. But that's not always the case that those principles are followed. Now, in terms of this role of sexuality and creation, I like to share part of the purport, the Brahma Sangita, text 9. The text translates that all offspring of the consort of the great Lord Maheshvara of this mundane world, I think it refers to Lord Shiva, are of the nature of the embodiment of the mundane masculine and feminine generative organs. And Srila Bhakti Siddhanta, remember, he's Naishtika. He had been a Naishtika Brahmachari. That means all his life, completely celibate, continent. This is his speaking. Sometimes it's mentioned that his father, Srila Bhakti Vinod Thakur, also participated in creating these wonderful purports to Brahma Sangita. Can anyone corroborate that? Or am I the only one who heard that? Yes? Srila Bhaktivinoda helped. Anyway, we generally consider, here's the name, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Sarasvati Thakura. He gets the official credit. So whoever, whether it was he alone or with the help of his father, he's writing the following. All these entities are embodiments of the masculine and feminine organs of generation by the distinction of efficient and material causal principles. Or in other words, they are produced by the process of sexual intercourse between the male and female organs of generation. It's quite explicit. All the information that has been accumulated by the agency of the sciences of this world possess this nature of sexual co-union. Trees, plants, and even all insentient entities are embodiments of the co-union of male and female. The feature that is of special significance is that although such expressions as, quote, the generative organs of male and female, unquote, are indecorous. Indecorous means not very, you know, dainty. Yet in scientific literature, this is spiritually scientific literature, these words expressing the above-mentioned principles are exceedingly wholesome and productive of abiding value. In decorum, in other words, inappropriateness, we can say, is merely an entity pertaining to the external custom of society. But science, and especially the highest science, cannot destroy the true entity by deference to social custom. Wherefore, in order to demonstrate the seed of mundane sex desire, the basic principle of this phenomenal world, the use of those identical words is indispensable. By the use of all these words, only the masculine energy or the predominating active potency and female energy or the predominated active potency are to be understood. So Srila Bhaktisiddhanta is not only condoning, he's actually encouraging that we shouldn't shy away, we shouldn't become too, fussy or too, no, this is not, I'm a pure person, I don't want to hear, no. In this case, it's very wholesome, it's very good for us to hear these descriptions. Not only in terms of more detail about how the universe was created, but also in terms of the role of eros or sex in terms of the whole gigantic expansion. So I could maybe on a lighter note, I can include. I probably shared this with most of you once before, but fortunately you've probably forgotten. So here we go. This is going back to Bogota, Colombia, where I just was a few days ago. But this is back in 1992 or so. And I was in a taxi. You'll have to forgive me, this story is a little bit, risque. But you're big boys and girls, you can handle it. So I was in a taxi, and the taxi driver, what happened was, all of a sudden, this amazingly beautiful young lady, I mean, really, like, you know, maybe she was some apsara or something, an amazingly beautiful young lady, she crossed the street. It was wasn't a major thoroughfare, but there were other traffic there, and she was so beautiful and so attractive that the cars practically barely missed crashing into each other. They just completely lost it. And including the taxi that I was in, kind of stopped, and the man just went ballista. He just went crazy. He said, "Wow, qué bonita esta muñeca, nuga, wow!" He was just like glorifying how beautiful, how well sexually attractive this person was, and so I was, you know, I'm brahmachari, you know, in the back seat. So how can I relate to his ecstasy? Well, Krishna gave me intelligence, and I said, "Right, that's correct." I said, "This is the motor that makes the whole world turn." This is what Krishna gave me the intelligence to say, something like that, kind of philosophical. And you know what happened? I made the bell ring. The driver was still stopped, of course. He took out a pad and pen, and he said, "Let me write that down. Eso es el motor que hace que todo el mundo gira. Qué bueno." You know, he's, of course, in Spanish, he's quoting me to write it down, so he'll keep it in his notebook. So it's pretty amazing how you never can tell when somebody who's so much in Maya can perk up to a transcendental perspective, something beyond that. I tried to put it in a way which he could relate to, and it worked by Krishna's mercy. So let me go back to the text again. It's a good time to wind up the class. I want to check one more, see if I forgot anything important here. Oh yeah, there's a couple of other things here. Quick. There's this one, I don't know if you call it a leela, or one account of Srila Prabhupada was with disciples in India, in a life member's home, and the man kept showing one child after another. Maybe some of you know where this is going. And he said, "This is my oldest son. This is my next oldest son. This is my oldest daughter. This is my next daughter. This is my little son." One after another, the man had like a little parade, and the kids would come and present themselves before Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada, you know, just patiently waiting for the parade to finish. And then when the man left the room, Prabhupada kind of said in a low voice to his disciples, said, imitating the man, was saying, this is my oldest son. This is my sex life." Prabhupada kind of sobering, a more sobering note of what was really going on. So that account was there. And I think that's about it. Let me just... So, they say love makes the world go around, but when they say love, they mean lust. And that way they get it right. So I'll read the text that had the short purport again. Text 2. Wait a second. I'm lost. Okay. Appearance of Lord Varaha. "O best of the virtuous, the original king of kings, Manu, was a great devotee of the personality of Godhead, Hari, and thus it is worth hearing of his sublime character and activities. Please describe them. I am very eager to hear." And lest we forget the Manu Sangitas is one of a law book for mankind, and specifically accepted by the Vaishnava community as authoritative. Goes into a lot of detail about how society should be organized. I think Yajnavalkya is another authority in that regard. So I don't know if Chivakram Prabhu is stretching or if he has a question. Oh, he has the microphone. He's all set.
Yes, I'm ready. So it's stated, before copulation used to take place, the sages will living entities.
The sages will the what?
Will. I mean, rather than copulate, they would just desire, and living entities would come into being. Stated like that in one of the Puranas, you know, by their will, just like I, you know.
You mean like the example of Lord Brahma?
Yeah, yeah.
Things were just emanating.
And then
when
they
had to speed things up, and the motor that really sped things up was called sex.
And also it's stated that when Daksha start, you know, they begetting children and sex start to take place through that. So that was the medium for population. Another point, it stated that Swayambhuva Manu went on to get like 10 children. 3 of them become sages, and 7 became emperor of the world. When he divided the earth into 7 dvipas, and he gave each one of the dvipa to one of his sons. Stated in many of the Puranas.
3 were sages and 7 were like kshatriyas or something?
Seven of his sons. They were in charge of the 7 dvipas of the earth. Jambu dvip, Plaksha dvip.
Yeah, we also hear that kind of breakdown of the sons of Lord Yashabdi. Thank you.
Maharaj, you mentioned that the sex pleasure, somehow you connected that with the universal form. I don't understand.
It's in the Bhagavatam.
Bhagavatam.
Yeah, it's saying that it's describing the that from the universal form of the many emanations of the universal form, one of them was this pleasure that's so intense that it impels people to take the trouble of childbearing and child raising and all that.
Where is that? What canto, what chapter?
It's in one of those series of verses about the universal form. I don't remember exactly which one.
First canto. Oh, okay.
The first description. It's interesting. Okay, well, another question.
Would it be a correct understanding, you know, you were asking the question, people are wondering why is there sex life, why is there desire, but if everything is a reflection of Krishna, you know, eternal pastimes, then the answer to me would be, is this correct, that the attraction is there in the spiritual world, although it's spiritual, we have a mundane attraction here,
right. That
would ultimately be the answer, and it wouldn't be a big mystery why there would be sex life.
Right, and I'm glad you mentioned that point. It's called the adiras, that original conjugal attraction is originally there, of course, between Radha and Krishna, and it becomes kind of filters down, and then it becomes the very ordinary phenomenon of sex in this material world. But the reason it's such a powerful, it's kind of like there was... I'll be real quick on this one, but it's like that. The controversy between Carl Jung and Sigmund Freud. So Sigmund Freud famously said that religion is just suppressed sex desire, typical of Freud. But Carl Jung put it the other way around. He was saying sex is really suppressed religious fervor, spiritual desire. So can relate that to the genesis, we can say, of how powerful this sex force is in the material world, because it's coming from the most powerful Adi Ras, the most powerful spiritual. Sometimes Prabhupada would not like to use the word sex for a spiritual conjugal rasa. But in other places, I believe in the beginning of Bhagavatam, the purport, Prabhupada does use the word that there is sex in the spiritual world. And he even said that impersonalists, by denying sex, that there's sex in the spiritual world, they're indirectly promoting sinful activities. Why is that? Because people are so attached to sex that if there's no sex in the spiritual world, I better stay here. That's the way they may think. So they're indirectly promoting sinful activity. Does that make any sense? Okay. Thank you so much for your kind attention. Jagat Guru Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai, Granthraj Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai. Thank you. Hare Krishna.